Let's pray. Oh, Sovereign King, oh, King of Kings, our God and Lord, here we are before your holy throne, our God. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive this food for us to grow, the food of our spirits. We pray that you may prevail, O King, over any unbelief found in our hearts. Even this morning as we come to learn from you, to learn from your deeds, O God, in increasing our faith and our dependence upon you. Speak, O God, as we come to you. In the name of Christ, your Son, may we all say Amen. I think the aim for God, for us as his elect, his people of his choosing, is that we may conform to the image of Christ Jesus. Is that we may look up to Jesus and see him as King. That we may look up to Jesus and see him not just as King, but as Lord and as God. Not only that, but to look up to Jesus as a perfect example for our lives. As a perfect example in whom we can look up to and learn how to conduct ourselves and learn how to live a holy and a pleasing life before our God. I think that's God's aim. And I think that's the aim also for this message this morning. That we may look up to Christ and see how did Jesus overcome temptation. As I promised last week that we will be preaching on overcoming temptation. Also, as your preaching card says, today we are in Matthew chapter 4. So if we may open the gospel according to Matthew, and it's chapter 4. So brothers, we thank the Lord to keep us until this far, to lead us until we meet again. You know, as last week we have spoken on how to flee from the wrath to come. But there is this period of time from last Sunday until this Sunday. And in the midst of that time, there's so much temptation that we have faced. Some of the temptation, we did see it. We did see it coming, but we still fell into sin. We still sinned before the true and the living God. Some of the temptation we didn't see. It took us by surprise, but we did recognize when we fell to sin. So now the question is, how, as the redeemed ones, as those that are in Christ, as those that are now having that knowledge that they are ordained to eternal life, they are predestined to conform to the image of Christ, how do we view or how do we treat our lives in this world? Knowing that we are redeemed, but the battle is not yet over, because each and every time we face temptation, and temptation lead us to sin, and sin separate us from God. So how can we overcome temptation? First, let me show to you that temptation, let me assure you that temptation is very serious in the lives of us as Christians. First, we see that when Jesus was teaching the Lord's Prayer, we all know the Lord's Prayer, he actually mentioned in the Lord's Prayer that there is a need for us to look up to God and depend on God in overcoming evil and in overcoming temptation. When he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, protect us from being tempted. Keep us from being tempted. Keep us away from the evil one. Keep us safe from the power and the schemes and the tactics of the devil. Showing us, brethren, that temptation is actually very important to look at, because temptation is serious. Not only in that Lord's Prayer did Jesus warn us about temptation. When we read Matthew chapter number 26 verse 41, he says to his disciples, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. That is a sign, brothers and sisters, that temptation is actually very serious. We need to take temptation serious also as we live this life. We cannot afford to look away from such subject as temptation. And also we see in the Old Testament how the Old Testament opened to us that we may see the importance of temptation as well. We look in the perfect garden of God after God has created all things good and actually very good. We see that Satan came and tempted Eve and thus deceiving her to transgress the law of God, causing enmity between man and God. We see in the life of Joseph, we all remember the story of Joseph in the house of Potiphar, when everything seems to be good, when everything seems to be going well, when Joseph was considered to be the good servant, the tempter came. The wife of Potiphar tempted Joseph. Though Joseph overcame that temptation, brothers, but my aim is to reveal to you that temptation is there, temptation is serious, so is the devil also serious in tempting us, trying to shift our focus from the will of God. Remember the story of David. David, a man after God's own heart. He was tempted. He looked at another man's wife. He desired that man's wife and consequently sinned because of that temptation. And that sin brought so much chaos in the life of David, not just the life of David, but in the children of David as well, in the whole family of David, just because of that temptation. We look at the life of the Israelites in the wilderness. We see how the Israelites were tested, they were tempted, they were tried in the wilderness, but they failed. But glory be to God that today we are able to look at the true Israel, the beloved Son of God, who also was tempted yet did not sin. So today we will look at how Jesus overcame temptation so that we may learn, so that we may look unto him and also live. So I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse number 11. The Gospel according to John. Sorry, I love John, but today is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 4. It reads as follows, and I'm using the ESV even this morning again. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angel concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came, and they were ministering unto him. So, I want to bring this message and actually divide it into 3 points. But before I do that, dividing into 3 points, I want to make sure that we all understand who is it that is tempted in this chapter. It is Jesus who is tempted in this chapter. The very Son of God, the one who was found without sin. The one who never thought about sin. The one who never sinned in his life. The Holy One, the perfect one of God, is the one that is tempted here. But note, or notice, before this temptation came, we see that it came after Jesus was actually publicly declared to be the Son of God. You must note it. He was publicly declared first to be the Son of God. Then the tempter came. John the Baptist came, preaching from the wilderness, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven that is at hand, telling us that Jesus is the Son of God, that there is a man coming after him who's greater than him. Jesus being the one that comes to save a lost people from their sins. Jesus being the one that baptized with the Holy Spirit. John says, I have seen and I bore witness that this is the Son of God. Not only John, brothers, declared Jesus publicly. We see when we read chapter number 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was baptized, we are told that the Holy Spirit descended in a form of a dove and landed upon Jesus Christ. And John says, in the writing of the Gospel of John, he says, that was confirmation enough, that was public declaration enough that Jesus was the Son of God. We see that not only the Holy Spirit and John declared Jesus publicly to be the Son of God, but we hear that the voice of God was heard coming down from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased. So it will be right, it will be on our favor that we learn from Jesus how to overcome temptation, brothers and sisters. We see that we are told that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. And we know, brothers, the Holy Spirit did that for a good purpose. I'm not going to deal with that, but part of it I can say, so that we may also learn how did Jesus overcome temptation, that we may also overcome temptation. But we know that the devil, when Jesus was found fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible tells us he was hungry, then the devil came to tempt him, taking advantage of that situation when Jesus was, he was in fleshly need, let me put it that way. When Jesus was hungry, when he was in need of food, the devil came and tempted Jesus. I think we must also learn from these brothers and sisters that there are implications to be called a son of God. There are implications when one is in a relationship with God. Christianity is not just a walk in a park where you come and say a prayer, then your life becomes as easy as everything that is easy that is out there. Brothers, we will face all kinds of temptation. And we need to learn from Christ our Savior how to overcome these temptations. Matthew Henry in his commentary says, the grace of God, or the favor of God that is upon us, does not negate or take away the possibilities that we will be tempted. Not that we will fall into temptation, but that we will be tempted. For the fact that God's grace is upon us, it does not minus that we should be alert and should know how to overcome temptation. So we see the first temptation that the devil pronounced or said or tried to do according to his tactics, bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, turn these stones into loaves of bread. We see here the temptation that we can group it as the lust of the flesh. So, let me say there are three ways or three points, brothers, that I would like us to discuss this message. First, I would like to say, if we want to overcome temptation, we need to be ready. And I'll explain what I mean when I say you need to be ready. We need to be ready. Because the devil's aim is to tempt us according to the lust of the flesh, according to the needs of our bodies, the human needs or natural needs that we have. And we need to be ready as the children of God. How can we be ready? We look at the life of Jesus. We are told first that Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit. It is very important, brothers and sisters. He was full of the Spirit. What does it mean? What does it mean to us to be full of the Spirit? It means that we must be found under the authority or the rulership of God, under the care of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It means that we must be found as people immersed in the presence of God. We need to be found in a continuous relationship with God. In that way, we may be ready. But not only that, brothers and sisters. We see that Jesus, when he was tempted, he responded biblically. It's very important for us to note. Biblical response to temptation. When the devil came and says, turn these stones into loaves of bread, Jesus Christ, he said, it is written. It is very important to note that Jesus Christ used the word of God so that we may know that to fight temptation, not really to fight him, to overcome temptation, we need to know the word of God. We need to know even how and when to apply the word of God. In this, Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, was teaching us that the word of God is enough, is the only and final authority in our lives as Christians. The word of God. And without the word of God, then we don't have the weapon in our hands to fight. Why am I using the word fight? To overcome temptation. Because we are not called to fight temptation. We are called to overcome temptation. There is a difference. So I need to use the right words so that you get the right message. The devil comes and says in verse number 3. Note, he comes without making any appointment. Temptation will come without an appointment. It won't say, next week I'll be tempting you on 1, 2, 3. Like our preaching card, next week we are preaching on following Jesus. We know that. We're praying for it. But the devil doesn't make appointments. The Bible says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. One thing that we learn from this is this phrase, this tactic, this thing that the devil does. He says, if you are the Son of God. You see, what he's doing is trying to bring a kind of a statement of doubt in the mind of the Christian. Really, he did know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is why he actually, later on, he quotes from Psalms 91 about what the scripture says about Jesus. So the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. So this thing is written for us to observe the tactics and the plans and the means and the hows of how the devil will tempt us. He says, if you are the Son of God. In other words, since you claim to be the Son of God, why don't you prove it to me? Turn these stones into bread. Prove that you are the Son of God. How many of our brothers and sisters, brethren, have fallen into the temptation of trying to prove to the devil, actually the sin of trying to prove to the devil that they are the children of God? They will spend the whole night trying to bind and to lose the devil. And the next morning, instead of spending the whole Sunday morning worshiping God, calling upon his name, dividing the word of God in truth, and teaching one another how to observe and how to worship God, instead of worshiping God in spirit and truth, they will spend the whole Sunday morning binding and losing, casting demons, and at the same time falling prey to false manifestations. That's what they, because what are they doing? That's why the devil wants. What are they doing? We are trying to prove that we are the sons of God. You see, these are ways that we need to be aware of. He says, if you are. In other words, you may find him saying to you when you are sick, if you are the Son of God, why are you sick? If you are the child of God or the daughter of God, why are you in trouble? Why are you suffering? Why are you poor? It's just words that he brings so that we doubt our standing and challenging our authority. He wants you to prove you've got some kind of authority in this world in the name of Jesus. But Jesus did not fall prey to dead brothers and sisters. He teaches us to be aware. We need to be alert of the tactics of the devil. Don't let the devil move your focus, because all that he's trying to do is that we may fail to do the will of God, that we may be moved like a ship that is moved in the ocean and going and hitting a rock. You remember what is called Titanic? It moved and lost focus, and it hit a big rock, and it was damaged, and it didn't make it where it was supposed to go. That's the aim. And I don't know who sank that ship. I cannot grant it to the devil, because they said even God cannot sink that ship. They said, so I don't know who's greater than God who sank that ship. But Titanic did sink. The builder said God cannot sink this ship. But my point is, brothers and sisters, the aim of the devil is to move us as a ship move from his way of shore. If you are the Son of God. He says, turn these stones to become loaves of bread. Trying to move Jesus' focus. Trying to make sure that we obey his ways. And the more, brothers and sisters, you try to prove yourself to the devil that you are the Son of God, is the more you obey his command, is the more you obey his voice. And he's shifting you from the real thing that he's trying to do. His aim was to tempt Jesus. That's all he was trying to do. So that's what the devil is also doing to us as the children of God. Trying to test our authority. But what we see is that Jesus used the word of God in response to the temptation of the devil. The temptation which I can call the lust of the flesh. So for us to overcome temptation, for the first thing we see that we need to be ready. To be ready, I mean we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must know the word of God. And we must know how to apply the word of God. But another thing that we see in this life of Christ, in these first few verses, is that Jesus was found in a quiet place with God. Very important. Jesus was found in a quiet place with God. What does it mean to us to be in a quiet place with God? It's to take time to be in the presence of God without any disturbance. And what do when we get there? We pray in the presence of God. We meditate on the word of God. That's what we do in the in our quiet time. Praying, meditation, looking up to Jesus. How has he commanded us to live in this world? The psalmist says, blessed is the man. He says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the ways of sinners. He does not sit in the seat with the scornful. He does not walk in the ways of the wicked. But his delight is in the law of God. And in the law of God, he meditates day and night. Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible doesn't say for 40 days and 40 nights Jesus was tempted. You read it carefully. He fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And at the end of those days and nights, he became hungry. And the devil came to try and tempt him. But he was found in a quiet time with God. We need our quiet time with God. It is very essential that as Christians, we find ourselves in prayer. We try so hard to be in the presence of God. Because the Bible says that in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. That is another thing that we find. Let me ask this question so that we get this thing even more clear. If a soldier goes for war, what is his first thing that he does? He prepares himself. He takes up his bags. He loads his gun. He's ready for a war. He knows that there is war out there. And if he's not prepared, if he has not loaded his gun, if his weapon is not ready, he will not survive out there. That's what we get. So it is with us, brothers and sisters. As Christians also, we need to be ready. We need our guns loaded by the word of God. The word of God is our weapon. This is what the psalmist said in 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? And he answers and says, by guarding it according to your word of God. In the same psalm, verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp on my feet and a light on my path. So we know, brothers, based on this, looking up to Jesus, how we overcame this temptation. The word of God was essential. We need the word of God. We need to have a quiet time with God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then we must be ready. And I'm telling you, we can learn so much to be ready about temptation, but no one can learn how to be ready for this thinking that's coming out somewhere. So that's why I cannot teach you, brothers, how to overcome. Can we concentrate on how to overcome temptation? Then we see, brothers, now the devil comes with a second way of tempting and testing Jesus Christ. He comes with the second one, trying to focus Jesus again away from his course, against his calling. He says, if you read verse number 6, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So in this temptation, brothers, I want us to learn the second thing, that we need to trust God. The devil here, what he's trying to do is to make sure that we test God. Let me explain what I mean. We need to trust God in accordance to scripture context. Many of us today, we don't trust God in accordance to scripture context. We bring scripture to our lives so that it means what we want it to mean. Then we begin to try to trust God based on that one. Let me make an example, quoting it from what Dr. John MacArthur says. He says, two couples, no, they were actually not couples, two youth, youngsters, they were starting to date. I don't know what it means, but in our culture we don't have dating in the church. But they were dating and they realized that they were coming too close to one another. So the next time they were coming together, they started by praying. But after they prayed, they still came close to one another. 9 months later, the lady was heard screaming, God, how can you do this to me? How can I be pregnant? We prayed. You see, they were praying, trusting God to protect them, but they prayed and trust God outside scripture context. That is not to trust God. That is to test God. We are not called to test God. You see, Jesus did not allow the devil to twist the word of God. It doesn't say that Psalm 91 that is quoted by the devil saying, God, he will command his angels to carry Jesus. Jesus doesn't say that psalm is wrong. The psalm is correct. God will do it. But why would you listen to the devil's command and devil's interpretation of the word of God if you can listen to God? Why will you follow the command of the devil or his ways of testing your knowledge? Jesus Christ says, it is also written. He answers again based on the word of God. God is calling us to trust on him in times of temptation, to look up to him and know his way in its context, not to fall prey to misinterpretation, not to fall prey to false interpretation. Even though it is written in the word of God, God cannot tempt us. God cannot be tempted himself. So how can God bring a word in his scripture that leads us to sin? That is the whole idea. So if you go out there having temptation and then going through sin because there's a scripture that you think allows you to sin, brother and sister, you are missing the mark. God will never in any way have a scripture for us that leads us into temptation. But while Jesus is responding into this biblically, we see that also Jesus was patient. And I will prove to you that Jesus was patient just after now. I want you to see that through this whole temptation period, Jesus was patient. And patience is very important. But patience also goes with carefulness. We need to be careful. Then you see the devil comes with the third way of testing Jesus. But now, notice, he comes with some kind of a killer punch. This is his last tactic. The last. It's not actually the last, it's the pride of life. That's what everybody wants. Have you seen in the church today? Everybody desires to be somebody. The devil says, all this I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And worship me in verse number 9. And that's the dangerous trick that it does even today. If you do this for me, this is what I will do. And most of us, I'm not saying you, I'm making an example. Most of the people are led to this kind of temptation because of our sinful desires, desiring the things of this world. People that desire riches, people that desire worldly happiness. Inside the church, they want to be known, they want to be seen to be good and better than others. They want to be seen in some position of power. They want to be seen looking in a different, in a better way than the other Christians. Even in a place of poverty, you get Christians trying to shine, to steal glory for themselves, trying to have some kind of self-honor and self-glorification from friends and families inside the house of God. Because the devil is whispering in their ears, if you may look better, if you may look like this, you will be special, you will be important. The pride of life. We want to be on top of the food chain. We want other people to serve us, but we don't want to serve other people. We want to point fingers and say this, that, that. We want to be seen like the one that controls the whole universe. Inside the church, I'm saying church without discrimination. I know that inside the church there are those who are not Christians but acting as Christians. But even us as Christians, books are written today, your best life now. We follow this thing. We want to see how can we live our best life today. And in that kind of good advices, which are not godly advices, then we tend to build up some kind of strategy. How to look better than other people. How can I shine? Is the pride of life. And the pride of life, brothers and sisters, is also, it can also be motivated by the lust of the flesh. Look what the devil did. He takes Jesus to a high mountain and show him the kingdoms of this world. He shows him. Then he tells him, I will give you this. But he wants him to see first the beauties of this world. That's what the Bible says. He wanted him to see the glory and the splendor of the kingdoms of this world. Maybe he can change focus. You see, brothers, seeing is not always a good thing. Many people have fallen prey to sin because of seeing. The lust of the eye. It leads to the lust of the flesh. We know. It leads to the... You remember David? He saw Bathsheba, then he sinned. The lust of the flesh came. And at the same time, there is pride of life. The same strategy that the devil did in the Garden of Eden is what he's doing here. The pride of life. Jesus says again, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. And we are told that the devil fled. The devil was defeated. What do we see? The word of God again and again. There is nothing else that we can trust. The word of God is enough. And why the word of God? I think the Apostle Paul writes and says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is The word of God. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. The word of God is our weapon of warfare. Until we are immersed ourselves in understanding the word of God, until we are able to deliver ourselves from trials by using the word of God, we will always fall prey to temptation. But I said, Jesus was patient. Let me prove to you that Jesus was patient. The devil comes without appointment. He comes to try Jesus. Patience is very important, that we may also be careful. While we are patient, we must be careful, but not entertaining sin. There's a difference between being patient and entertaining sin. He comes with that appointment, and I said, he will come in our own lives with that appointment to test us, to move us from doing the will of God. Then he tests Jesus. He takes Jesus the second step, and he takes him to the holy city. He puts him in the pinnacle of the temple, showing him down, and he says, throw yourself. The angels of God will catch you. Jesus defeats him, but still in patience, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain, and he says, look down there, the kingdom that I have in my hands, I've got the authority, I am the prince of the kingdoms of this world, and I can give to you if you fall and worship me. Jesus is still patient. Why? Let me give you an example. I remember those days of good boxing. There was a man called Mike Tyson. We all know Mike Tyson. A good jab, left hook. But all his opponents fell prey to the right hook of Mike Tyson. Because they were all not patient. They were all not careful. They were all not standing against these punches. They were not patient in taking these hits against them. They did not last for three or the fourth round. They all became prey of the right jab or whatever it was. Tyson put them down. But I also remember how Evander Holyfield stood against that devil. I'm talking about the last punch. We can see the devil now is throwing his last punch, the pride of life. Where everybody is today, we want to be someone. We want to be special. We want to be somebody's. But I remember how Evander Holyfield won that match. He was patient. Mike Tyson was jabbing, trying to deliver that right hook. But Holyfield was patient, and he was careful. I'm saying careful because he was also fighting back. He was not entertaining Mike Tyson. He was also fighting back, but he was waiting for the right time, waiting for Tyson to deliver the right and final finish move like the devil. And when Tyson delivered that move, he did not hurt or harm Evander Holyfield in any way. Because he knew it, he waited for it, he saw it coming, he dug it, and then we are told that Jesus said to the devil, be gone to me. He resisted the devil. Same thing that Evander Holyfield did. He ducked the last punch and he delivered his last one. There goes Tyson on the floor. The best man, the best boxer in the world was beaten. So brothers and sisters, we must be patient in trials and in tribulation and be persistent in prayer. That's what the word of God says. Face it and overcome it according to the word of God. Know that you have defeated the enemy. But to defeat the enemy in temptation, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean that the devil is finished with you. The devil fled from Jesus. But the devil was not finished. Today he's tempting us. He's tempting our children. He's doing everything that he wants. So we must always be ready. To overcome the devil, we must be ready. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be found in the quiet time with God, where we meditate on the word of God, when we pray, when we give ourselves to God. Secondly, we must trust in God in accordance to his will. To overcome temptation, we need to trust in God. Thirdly, we need to resist the devil. Be gone from me, Satan. Resist the pride of life. In closure, let me show you a weakness of the devil when he was tempting Jesus. a weakness of the devil even today when he's tempting us. We are told that the devil could not do anything. In other words, he could not lead Jesus or hold Jesus by the hand and let him sin before God. That's the weakness. The devil will never take you by hand and force you into doing something. He says to Jesus, turn the stones into loaves. You must do it yourself. He is not going to do it for you. That's the temptation. He wants you to provoke God. He already provoked God in his own time and is continuously provoking God. Now he wants us to provoke God. That will be shifted from the focus. He wants you to turn. He wants you to look at material things than the spiritual things, than the blessings of God. Secondly, he says to him, throw yourself down. Because he could not throw Jesus down from that pinnacle of the temple. He wanted Jesus to throw himself. You must drown yourself. You must lead yourself into sin after being tempted. You must be the one that becomes the enemy of God at the end of the day. That's the aim of the devil. He says, if you worship me, I will give you this. That's number three. I will give you this if you worship. But he didn't force Jesus to worship. So, brothers and sisters, there is no child of God, there is no saved Christian that the devil can take by his own hand and force him to do something against God. That's why the scripture says there is no temptation that can come our way that is beyond our capabilities to stand firm. There is no way. The devil cannot make us do it. He will always want us to do it. We must be the one that breaks our relationship with God. But notice, when he says, I will give you this, it's a lie. The devil will give you nothing. Did he give peace to David when he sinned? No. Pain and suffering. Trouble in his own house. The devil will only give us pain and suffering. There's nothing that he can give, even if he promised. Why? He is a liar and the father of all lies. So we must be careful of his promises. We must be careful of his tricks. In other words, let us not entertain temptation. Let us know that temptation comes before sin comes. When we find ourselves sinning, there was temptation that we looked away from. We don't want to face the fact that we are tempted. We need to face the fact when we are tempted and respond in a godly way. Respond in a godly way. And may the good God bless us as we meditate on these things. As we look upon Jesus, how he did all these things. Overcoming the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. Jesus overcame it for us. Be ready. Trust in the Lord. Resist the devil. He will flee. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, even this day. The days of trouble, oh God, where we face temptation in each and every day. We cannot even count how many times we've been tempted in 1 week. But, oh God, we thank you for your provided a way that we may stand firm. Even today, you're teaching us on how to overcome temptation. We must look upon your Son. We must know your word. We must apply your word. We must trust in you. We must be ready, for the devil and temptation comes at any time. Most of all, we must be found under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, shower us down, oh now, oh King, with the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to resist the devil, because we know he will flee. Bless your children. Bless us all in the preaching of your word. Bless us all in the hearing of your word. Until our Lord Jesus Christ come, we all say amen.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the good Lord bless as we anticipate coming on to the next week, where we're going to learn about following Jesus, following our Savior.